Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Underhood Show presented by Mel Hamilton Ford. I'm Phil Nightingale. Morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And it's live time.
It is. Here we go.
Hey, how about this new background?
That is that's pretty awesome. That cup over there is really...
Oh, you like that a lot? Yeah. How about that?
Just there.
In some case, I need something to drink, Josh.
Well, hey, I'm all for
all
that.
All this talking, get my dry throat going on here and stuff, too. Gotcha. So, anyway, we're at our new studio.
We actually got
a studio. How about that? Courtesy of Gus, our IT guy.
Yes, we do.
And I don't know, this background, the first one he put up, I don't know. What did you think of that first one? But, Gus was trying to be funny, everyone.
It made me nervous. I will say that.
Made you nervous?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, everybody, this is a call-in show, 316-462-3673. And guess what we don't have up on the screen? Our phone number, Josh. So let's see if I can figure out how to get that done here in just a minute. But anyway, hey, it's a call-in show for everybody. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, whatever it might be, where am I going to get that phone number at?
Go to captions.
Captions.
Maybe. Yeah. There you go.
Look at that.
Just like that.
There that number is. And it's a call-in show, as I said before. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, anything in the automobile world, anything you want to talk about, what's going on with your car, or anything about new products or whatever, anything in the racing world. Hey, racing's kicked off. We're rolling hard. Big time. Dodge City race last night. Humboldt race last night with USMTS. And, of course, we're headed back out to Team 3J. Is headed out to Dodge City this afternoon to go see what we can do on the first time in Dodge City. From that part,
I got to fit on the couch, I guess.
Couch. Yeah. The old couch from that part. So, anyway, anything you want to talk about, 316-462-3673. That comes right into the front desk. Tell the girls you want to get patched in the podcast. Josh will get you dyed in here and everything else, too. And Gus is getting ready to get back on the couch from that part, too. So anyway, as always, Josh, what's included for each and every caller calling into the show for any kind of question?
Well, we're going to mail out a package to you. It's going to consist of the works, which is an oil change, tire rotation. We use Motorcraft oil and filter products here at Mel Hamilton Ford. While we're performing that service, we're also going to complete a multi-point inspection on the vehicle, checking over the brakes, tires, steering, suspension, all the safety-related components, just making sure that vehicle's geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving. You'll also receive yourself $10 to Mel's Diner, so you can get yourself something to eat and drink while you're here with us at the Big Corner. Complete nitrogen for your tire, so you get all the great benefits that nitrogen has to offer. And then a BG products package, which consists of a can of MOA or motor oil additive for your engine oil, and then CF5 for your fuel system. Again, just getting that vehicle geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving. So,
all right, 316-462-3673. Love to hear from you. Anything in the world that's ailing your car, don't understand, want to talk about new products or whatever, love to hear from you. And talk about new products. We've had some exciting stuff in the showroom this week, Josh.
We have, yeah. Yeah, we have. Got a lot of, I wouldn't say a lot, but the 24 F-150s are starting to roll in. Got to see a higher-end trim level of that truck.
The King Ranch is still on the showroom floor. Was going to take it yesterday and had a emergency trip go out of town, so he's not going to be back. We're going to have the truck now till Tuesday.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So if you want to check out the new 24 King Ranch with the refresh and stuff, come by and see it. So do you remember what else is on the showroom?
Yeah, there was a Raptor R up there.
It's gone, yes.
And then
it's gone.
There was a Ranger Raptor up there as well.
Ranger Raptor. Yeah. What I didn't realize, and you learn something new every day, the Ranger Raptor is the same chassis and everything as the Bronco Raptor. Same powertrain, same everything. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I did not know that either. So, And here's the thing about that. You got a $90,000 Bronco Raptor, or basically a $60,000 Ranger Raptor. Which one would you rather have?
You know, it was a really good looking truck, for sure.
I don't know. $30,000, I'd have to try that Ranger for a while.
I think I would too.
You know,
I think I would too. There's just something to be said about the versatility of a pickup bed, you know. Yeah.
But again, the Bronco, we've got several of the Bronco Raptors out here too. That stance it's got and everything else too. I didn't get to drive the Ranger, so maybe I changed my mind after I drove it. I don't know.
The tires or the just the appearance of that stance of that Bronco, it just seems really wide and tall. The Ranger, it had a good appearance to it as well. It just wasn't near as wide or near as tall for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's got to be $30,000 worth of difference in the two cars. I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking of the power, the drivetrain and all that stuff is identical in the two cars.
The, you know, the interior, as far as like seating, stuff like that, the seats looked real similar. Didn't have the chance to sit in the Ranger. You know, I have drove a Bronco Raptor, but have not, not been in a Ranger one.
Well, yet, I wanted to drive that Ranger, but it was an ordered unit, sold unit. And the lady that bought that has been waiting a very long time for that truck from that part. So I decided it's fun for her just to take it and go. I didn't ask her to drive it, but I think if I know her very well, I think she'd have said, no problem, go. But I don't know. Just didn't feel comfortable doing that, you know what I'm saying, with somebody else's property.
Well, and I don't know, especially as long as we waited to get some of this stuff, you're like,
yeah, exactly. So that Bronco, Raptor R, they improved it just a little bit. Of course, it's got the new changes for 24 with the new refresh front end on it and stuff. I didn't see that much difference on the inside. It does have 720 horsepower now instead of 700.
On the R?
On the R.
You know, I have yet to hear one of those things run. I don't know. I just was maybe not, you know, not around when they put it on the showroom or anything. But I was curious how that V8 sounded in that.
Well, you know, it sounds pretty good. But, you know, it's the same motor, basically, was in the GT500. Mm-hmm. But I hate to tell you, GT500 sounds better. Anyway, we've got a 22 used.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Orange, code orange, GT500 sitting on the showroom floor too. We're selling that on consignment for a good customer of mine. He bought it. And you know why he's selling it, Josh? He's already got 3 speeding tickets in it.
Oh.
He said, I gotta stop.
Well, no, what he needs is a bubble.
Bubble and a radar detector.
Yeah, there is. I could, it's got like, I think I looked, it had like 4,200 miles.
Yeah, something like 4,000 so some miles on it too.
That's almost a speeding ticket for 1,200 miles or something like that.
Well, I don't know how many miles he put on it or whatever, but yeah, he just said, hey, come get this thing. And he lives in Arizona. He moved to Arizona and he bought it out there and called me and said, hey, I made a mistake here. I can't keep my foot out of it. I said, I know, it's so much fun. And he said, oh, I know it. It's crazy fun. But he said, it's got to go. And I said, so we shipped it here from Arizona. And
yeah, it's a really good looking car. I don't know. The only, it doesn't have the stripe option, right?
Right.
But other than that, I mean, it's got pretty much.
Yeah, it's got the carbon fiber package on it and the carbon fiber wheels and the spoiler and stuff like that too. Yeah, just no stripe. And I don't know. My opinion is on that stripe, I think it makes the car, my opinion. But again, opinions are like, you know what? We all have one.
Well, from the
that
painted part. Stripe for sure. You know,
yeah, that's what I'm saying, the painted stripe. One, yeah. So anyway, 316-462-3673. Love to hear from you. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, any new products whatsoever. Love to hear what's on your mind and that sort of thing too. So, Josh, I see you got a neat picture coming up on this other side. You must have something up your sleeve you want to talk about.
Yeah,
today.
So I got a couple of different things. I don't know, here between the last Saturday and this, the one before that, I went through the shop and took a couple of different images of different things. And you know, there's a hybrids are EVs are becoming, you know, more and more of a topic. For sure. You know, as a manufacturers, there's a lot more manufacturers out there that are getting in the EV game, for sure. But we've had the opportunity, because we've had some vehicles out there for a little while, for them to start coming back in for some repairs. So I actually have some photos of a battery pack being removed out of a
battery pack. I seen one the other day back here too. Mm-hmm.
And so there was a very few limited number of Mach-E's that they've got a recall out there for the battery pack to be removed. And it's actually the my mind kind of drew a blank, but basically it's the contactor that's needing to be replaced. So it's
contactor.
Yeah, it's not really.
You need to explain that a little deeper.
Yeah,
on that
it's
one, Josh.
It's not really. It kind of part of the high voltage portion of it per se, but it's inside of the battery pack, and so you know, it is something that we got to remove the battery pack. And the battery pack on these vehicles is the whole underside of the car.
Yeah. So when you say high voltage, for someone listening here, what's the high? How many? Most of our cars run 12 volts. So what's this high voltage? How much
so you get into EVs, I mean, it depends on the manufacturer, but I mean, you're talking upwards of 400 volts, and it's really the amps that is what can kill a person. And so the manufacturers do a really good job of making these very high visibility on stuff that is detrimental if handled improperly versus stuff that's not. And so they'll wrap stuff in orange tape and, you know, just make sure that, users know, you know, hey, don't touch this without proper training or,
to turn this on so I can see this with
proper tools. Yeah, you can certainly do that.
Okay. So what are we looking at here, Josh? Everybody kind of knows what we're looking at.
We maybe want to start in the top other corner over there. So you got the, it's where it says 8 and 8, and then you got the arrows. You may start with just the very front picture. And so again, this is just kind of different pictures. So this is actually, There's a battery pack, which is what we're replacing in this specific one. So this was a Lightning pickup here, but this sits under that pack. And so this is, it's a really thin, it's probably only, I would say half an inch thick.
Thick, okay.
And the grids on this thing, those are actually coolant passages.
For coolant to flow through there.
And so each one of these battery packs has this coolant tray underneath of it to dissipate the heat out of these batteries, which I thought was really interesting that in order to do that, I mean, these things must really get hot.
Yeah, so your engine's getting hot, to move it down the road, so you got to have a cooling system to cool it. So now you're going to have a cooling system. You have a cooling system in there to cool your batteries down.
Yep. So this is the bottom side of that tray. So we've picked it up and flipped it around, and then I took a picture of it. And then you can go to the next picture, and I believe it's kind of tilted sideways so you can see really how thin it is. Yeah. So that's how thick that thing is.
So you're saying where I got that cursor on there, that's a half an inch thick.
I would guess probably a little less than half or right around a half inch thick.
Okay.
And then you can kind of go on to the next one.
Okay.
So this is the top side of it. So this is where the pack actually mounts to the top side of this coolant passage. Now,
is this what we're replacing? Is this piece you're holding on to?
No. So this is just part of it. And what I thought was really interesting is, there's a silicone that you put between this piece and the battery pack to hold the pack down, but it also helps transfer the heat to dissipate the heat evenly from that side.
What's this blue thing off to the right?
So that's actually the stencil. So, and I don't know if I didn't really maybe get a good picture of it, but basically that stencil lays on top of this piece right here. And then you lay the silicone down on that stencil, and then you pick the stencil up, and then you put the battery pack on top of it.
Okay.
So there's, and I don't, it's maybe not.
Okay. So now you kind of see the stencil there.
So this is, and this is the whole tray. So this is in a stall. There's the vehicle's on the lift raised up above it, but this thing is pretty much the whole bottom side of the technician's stall. So I would say it's probably 3 feet wide, maybe a little wider. And then it's probably a total of, probably six and a half feet long. As far as and then there's several battery packs within this tray. So,
okay. So next shot is,
and this is again, just more of a closer up. You can see all the orange wiring. That's
your high voltage wiring, correct?
Yeah. Yep. And there's actually I don't know if we got, move on maybe to the next one. Yeah. So this is just, if you look at the size of the connectors, so this is now the top side of the car. When that pack is up bolted into the bottom side of the car, you can see the size of the connectors, that's moving that current. I mean, if you look inside of those orange terminals right there, that's all a solid connector inside of there. So that's some pretty decent thick wire that's moving that current.
Okay. I'm going to put you on the spot here a minute, Josh, but what's that thing right there?
So I believe pull your cursor out of the way. So that's actually a pump, a coolant pump.
No, see the pump. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, now I got it. So that's the pump that's moving the coolant around in there. Okay.
Yeah, you're a pump. There's, I think there's a couple of different pumps on these things. So,
All right. So let's go to the next shot. And
so this is the top side of the top side of that pack again, but see the orange cables that are laying on top of those batteries. Mm-hmm. Those are solid cables. Again, just how thick they are and the current that they're having to move is pretty impressive for sure. But there
three battery packs?
Yeah, that's just the top layer. So there's a whole nother set of battery packs on the bottom side of that too.
Okay.
Under it.
So it's basically six battery packs, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and then you, so we're missing the one up here.
Oh, sir, it's eight then.
Yeah, so you've got the first couple are just singly stacked,
right,
but
here,
they're double stacked towards the back. And then that black hose along the side right there.
This one right here,
yeah. That is, that's for coolant passages to go to each one of those coolant trays.
So has this thing got a radiator like a
Yeah.
Like a regular car does this. So when it's running down the road, the radiators, but the front of these cars are sealed off. So how's that air getting to the radiator to cool it? Fans or what?
Yeah. So what impresses me a lot about the hybrids is all the technology that goes into the strategies for this, you know? And so when we talk about to own a hybrid and to just drive it and not understand what all, or an EV vehicle and not understand what all the different subsystems and how they work together, you're not getting the full advantages of driving a fully EV vehicle. And I really picked that up when one of the trainers was here and we were talking about, you know, using the navigation system in the car, especially on like road trips or things like that, to be able to communicate with the car what your intentions are. So basically you're going on a trip and you're telling it, hey, I want to drive this far, and then I'm looking at stopping at this charging station. And so basically that vehicle is allowing itself to prepare these batteries to accept the most charge in the shortest amount of time. So, you know, it starts preconditioning the batteries, cooling them down or warming them up if they need to, depending on ambient temperature and what's going on. But basically they do that a lot with just airflow. Mm-hmm. You know, airflow, and then obviously your available load and torque and things like that. That's they may limit that a little bit as you got closer to a charging station to keep the temperature within that specific range.
Yeah, kind of how I look at it. If you just jump in the car and take off and don't tell the car where you're going and plan for that trip, because it knows where a level 3 station's at, it knows where a level 2 station's at. If you just get in the car and take off and don't tell it where you're going, and you don't run the nav and don't run the route or whatever, you could pull up to a level 3 station and the batteries are so hot, you're going to get level 1 charge.
Yeah, it's not going to gain you anything. And then the other side of that is the preconditioning side of it. So, you know, using the power at a home station or a charging station or a substation to have that power be used from, to have the power be used from that device instead of these battery packs.
Yep.
You know, and so when you leave, the car is at optimal temperature, the batteries are at optimal temperature, and it's ready to go to work for you.
Yeah.
Instead of using that energy to achieve those things.
It's kind of like let's take a 30 degree day outside and it's 8 o'clock in the morning. If you know that you're going to be leaving the house at 8 o'clock, you can program the car, be on the charger, tell it where you're going so it knows what kind of, because really optimal charge rate is 80%. But if you need 100, you need to put 100 in to get where you're going to get. But if you only need 80% and it's 30 degrees outside and you don't tell the car what it is, you back out of your garage, that cold air hits that battery. And then it takes a whole bunch of energy out of that battery to warm the battery up to make it efficient.
Yep.
Before you get going. That's why these cold weather temperatures happen. But if you, like you said, precondition it, tell it, hey, I'm leaving at 8 o'clock, I'm going to go drive 20 miles. It's going to charge that battery to 80%. It's going to have the battery warm at the right temperature before you back out of the garage. Now, is the cold weather still going to take range out of it? Yes, it still does, but it won't take as much range out of it if you recondition it. So there is a lot of tech in this, in these systems too. I mean, I remember when I went through the first training and stuff on this, and we decided we was going to go to Denver from here. Okay. So we put the route in and told me we could, it would tell me I'd get to Salina, and there was a level 3 charger there at Salina. And I don't remember all the exact numbers or whatever, but it basically said you could sit there for, I think it was like 27 minutes in charge for 27 minutes and then go on to Hayes. And if you went to Hayes, you could start here, or you could go from Wichita all the way to Hayes. But then I think you sit there an hour and a half. Well, okay, let's go to Hayes. Let's have some lunch. Okay. And then it goes on into Denver. So you get your options of where you're going to go, but you need to make sure that you're putting that in the nav.
Well, there's so much tech involved in the car and what it's doing to, again, make that the best, the most economical charge, to receive that charge. And if it doesn't know, then you're defeating the purpose of having the EV side of things.
So. Yeah. So anyway, is an EV for everybody? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it's still a niche market. I still think it's a market that is just good for some people. And I'm going to tell you, we sold one this week to a gentleman. His wife drives 4 miles a day. That's all she drives. Now let's think about that one for a minute. That's to her work and home.
Yeah.
Let's put an internal combustion engine in that.
Oh,
4
yeah.
miles a day. You've tore up so much life out of that car by just going 4 miles back and 2 miles and back, shut it off, 2 miles and shut it off. Electric car, you're not doing that. So is that a great market for that person? Yeah, it is. Now, is that a great market for me when I drive, you know, 15 miles each way? No.
Yeah.
Can I get by with an EV? Yeah. Now you driving, what is Haven back?
So 40? It's I'm about 30, about 32 miles, I think.
Okay. 32. You could get by with that too, but, my next thing would be is, you know, is it the right thing or not thing? But that 4 mile trip to me is so much better to be in an electric car than it is to be in a ice car.
Yeah. Natural or aspirated gas engine,
you know, from that part, building up the condensation, not getting it boiled out of there, all that kind of thing and stuff like that.
I mean, too. You're doing more harm. Well, I mean, that's where your wear is at the starting of it, you know, so.
Yeah. So anyway, there's so many things here with the electric cars. There's a lot of things, you know, we have the charge and range anxiety. I get that from that part too. But an EV is not for everybody. It's not. But I will tell you, hopefully, and I'm going to say this again, this is my opinion about this CAFE rating. That's where this is all being developed because our government is making these manufacturers have these high CAFE rating, which is corporate average fuel economy. And every vehicle they make has to hit this fuel economy average. So they're making these electric cars to offset that, to give them the fuel economy they need to hit these others ranges from that part. So I get what they're trying to accomplish. But to me, back in 20 years ago, even 30 years ago, the emissions coming out of tailpipe were terrible.
Yeah.
And what we did as a manufacturer, I should say we, what the manufacturers did to meet those emissions, they put those catalytic converters on them. Then they started taking outside air and stuffing it into the exhaust streams. And all that did was dilute it. The emissions were still coming out the tailpipe. We were just diluting it coming out there by putting an air pump on the cars to dilute what's coming out of the tailpipe. Now, come on, the emissions are still coming there. We've eliminated air pumps. We've eliminated carburetors. We've got these high flow CATS converters now that's working.
You said air pumps, just not okay. Changing
hey,
subjects.
Here we go.
No. How many of those did you remove and chuck in the trash back in the day?
Tons.
Yeah.
I mean, with the catalytic converter came out, we had what we call test tubes. It's just a pipe put in place and get the converter out,
just
of, the,
went,
out of the
went in place.
Because that's what they did. They had cars designed and they just added things to it.
Uh-huh.
Now today these cars are designed for, that's why we don't need the air pumps. That's why we don't need these lower efficiency converters that we have today. And, you know, I can get on and on about that.
So, I mean, I think about the air pumps and the weight that they were. You'd probably gain more yeah. out of it just by chucking it so you weren't carrying it around than you did it being in the car for sure. So
now, with the way these cars run so much cleaner and what's coming out the tailpipe, I think they need to be rating the manufacturers on the emissions coming out the tailpipe. Who cares how much fuel it's burning?
Yeah.
If it's burning it efficiently and doing what it needs to do, who cares? So the government needs to back off. I've heard the other day, I haven't done some research. A caller said the other day when we were talking with you on that show, Josh or whatever, that he said he did see where the government has backed off that.
Yeah.
I haven't done enough research. I haven't had time to do any research to dig into that, see what kind of numbers that is or whatever. But I still think that's what the government needs to look at is what's the emissions coming out that tailpipe and from that part. So we can, everybody can get what they need and all that kind of stuff too. And you got the people that want to have an electric car, get your electric car. But the guys that want to still have the big old V8s or whatever, if it's still, because even our 5.0 V8s coming out the tailpipe, they're still so clean. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway, just my opinion. Opinions like what, you know what you got. So anyway, Jeremy Kane, I'm coming. Yeah. I'm coming to Dodge City. I'll bring it with me. Okay.
Well, so, and I don't know what the deal is. I mailed this thing out twice. I was just going to bring that up and just say, hey, look, we'll hang on to it here. Let me know when you're ready for it.
Jeremy, are you going to be at the racetrack tonight at Dodge City? I know you are. So I'll bring it with me. Okay.
If we can do it that way, that's great. But like I said, I've sent it out twice and not sure where the disconnect is. We probably got the address down wrong or something like that would be my guess. So
yeah, probably so. Morning, Billy. And so anyway, back to that. I mean, that's just my opinion on the cars and stuff like that. Hey, it's a call-in show, 316-462-3673. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, battery, you want to get in this debate on the EVs or ICE cars? We'd love to hear from you on that part. Anyway, from that part. So let's...
last Saturday, I had Kelly on here with me and we were talking about, driveway repairs. You ever been involved in a driveway repair? And we had callers call in and talk about, either good stories, bad stories of maybe mechanical things that they got involved with that they shouldn't have, or, things that, maybe it was a success and worked great.
Josh, that's a stupid question. Remember those damn things I've been in my life over that kind of junk. But, hey, can you come over and check this thing out real quick?
Well, but where I was at is, and I've had that happen several times, and where I was at with that is we had one of the callers call in, and because one of the other things we talked about was, you know, people getting in this industry naturally. I think racing has a lot of people get into the automotive industry, especially on the mechanical side of it, is because, you know, you have an interest and you want to go fast. So you start working on something and like, hey, you know, I could do this as a career. And I think Kelly sees that a lot, you know, on those young men and women that are kind of getting into this industry. But we had somebody that called in and said they went to in high school, took a mechanical automotive shop and woodworking shop. And the mechanical shop was because they wanted to go racing, and the woodworking shop was so they could build a trophy case to hold all the trophies from winning. And when they said that, I laughed pretty hard.
I bet you did too.
Deal, so.
I bet you did too. No, Tim, the Kool-Aid hasn't went sour. I'm just being realistic of what this real situation is. And right, Delbert, the cafe ratings are bad for manufacturers and the buyers. I agree with that. Bill, I never cut any converters out, but I took a lot off. I'll tell you that. That's for sure. James Furman must be hanging out at Humboldt. So he's in Iola this morning. So I'm sure you were at the races last night, and not to switch gears on that, boy, it was an exciting race last night. I'm telling you, it's it was at least the top four or five guys were really getting after it. And it was really, really cool. At the last lap pass, a guy two laps to go, took the lead, come back around, and I'm coming under the last corner, did a little slide job, not clean as heck, is a right move, everything else like that, slide in for the win. So it was pretty exciting there at Humboldt from that part of the USMTS guys racing out there too. So I stayed up a little bit just going to watch Dodge City on racing dirt, but somehow I don't know what happened. I needed a pillow. So I missed what happened at Dodge City. I watched the heat race and stuff like that after that, but then needed a pillow. So sorry about that too. So,
it happens.
It does. So, hey, 316-462-3673. Anything in these comment chat lines you want to get on here and talk about? We'd love to hear from you. Get a great price package for each and every caller. Love to hear what's on your mind, what's going on, and comments, questions, anything whatsoever from that part. So 316-462-3673.
So how's the track coming over there?
Hutch?
Yeah.
We're ready to go.
All right.
It's been, we were just over there again this week, and you know, we had Mike Van Genderen come over out of Iowa to help us work on the track. He was hired by NASCAR to maintain the track at Bristol. So I believe if NASCAR could hire him, we're probably going to be okay. Mike wasn't a cheap date, but I knew that racing service over there was terrible.
Yeah.
And naturally it's terrible from just setting and not being used and everything else too. So Mike came over, spent 3 days over there on the track. And then he told me, just let it set, leave it alone. Didn't, again, makes me nervous because I don't know, but So we went over there again this week, and I'm telling you, the track looks still looks really good. It's had a little bit of rain put on it and stuff, but it's really ready to go from that part. So we've got the 26th is coming quick and fast.
It'll be right here
from that
right
part.
The corner, that's for sure.
Yeah, the we're going to have a little bit of a practice on that Thursday before. Looks like we got about 30 or so cars signed up. I'm going to get that, have a little practice on that Friday and on that Thursday before. No, it's not open to the public. It's just basically for the racers to come out and do a little practice. But also Mike would like to see that, to see what, how the track's going to react and what it's going to do, to get, make sure it's going to be prepared for Friday. He is coming in Thursday afternoon. So start prepping the track on that for that practice night. And then he'll be there all day Friday and Friday evening to help make sure the cars are ready to go, the track's ready to go, and all that kind of stuff too. So again, got a lot of great sponsors coming in to help us. Can't thank Murphy Tractor and Equipment a ton for the equipment and everything they've brought over. Dan and Curtis are just fantastic. Work for great guys, from that part with the, everything from that part. Ox Materials and Andale Concrete, they've got the walls poured over there. They're laying over in the parking lot over there. You got six of them poured or five of them poured. There's two different sizes of wall panels, so we got some of each ready to go on that side. So that's, can't thank Mike and his crew from there. And of course, Evans Construction is coming in to help us put those up too. And then of course, Richardson Brothers Construction, John and Ross Richardson have been tremendous help of helping us get some contacts and being over there. They bought us a big old green John Deere tractor. I'm afraid you're going to be wanting to get in that, Josh.
Oh, I bet so.
Cruise around that thing on the track. Great packer. It's got a box plate on the back. So those guys have been instrumental in helping that together. They, you know, this support, they want to see that racetrack move and go there. So John and Ross, thank you tremendously for what Richardson Brothers Construction has put out there. And then AgriCenter, we are, they're helping us with the side-by-sides. Ryan Nickel, he's been fantastic to work with. We're sharing one side-by-side with Dodge City. Dodge City's, it's the EMT and Fire. I watched Racing Dirt last night trying to see if I could see it, because I haven't seen it yet. Didn't get a chance to see it, so that's a good thing, though, right, from that part. So, and then Construction Rental, they're in Salina, and they're moving another one of their businesses to Hutchinson. They're going to supply some extra lights on the back straightaway. The guys at the fair on the maintenance crew say, we don't need the lights, but you know what? We're going to go over Monday night and we're going to turn on the lights and see what we need. I just want that back straightaway lit up. When I remember in the past, it wasn't as good as me as what I thought it needed to be for the racers and stuff. So we will get the race lights up there from Construction Rental. And then, of course, BG Products. You know, this is the great partnership we have here. You know, guys, everybody's heard us talk about it here on the show a lot, but they've stepped up with some help and support. Of course, they want to come over to the races and be part of that too. So just excited for that. And then also the last but not least is United Rentals. We don't have their logo up there yet. We'll get it up there on the page. United Rentals is bringing us our water truck.
Oh, very good.
So, yeah. So can't thank those guys good over there too, but that's another great partnership we're doing with United Rentals with their water truck. So a lot of exciting stuff coming over there at Hutch. Josh, 26 going to be here before we know it.
It'll be here in no time for sure. How about a car? You got a car ready to go?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't. But well, it will be.
What the hell you been doing?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so 16-year-old rookie from Texas won the sprints last night at Dodge City. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. And we're going to need a bigger ice cream truck. Yeah, Mike, I hope you're right over there. We probably are going to need a bigger ice cream truck for that part over there at Hutch. So everyone, please jump over there at Hutch and let's fill those crowds. Let's fill those stands up and racers, get your cars over there. Let's show this fair board they voted correctly to keep the racing going, and let's make this first year good so we can go the next 2 to 3 years and build on some things over there that we really want to do from that part. So here we go. It's going to be fun.
Just like that.
Just like that. Just like that. Hey, jump on Salt City Racing LLC webpage. Get your ticket spot. Racers, go over to My Race Pass and get registered. You can do it all through the website at saltcityracingllc.com and get registered up on that part. And again, if racers, you want to practice, you need to get over on Salt City and get a picture posted of your car and say that you want to practice. Like, say right now, we're about 30 cars in, which is about a perfect number I think we need to have to practice for that first Thursday night before. But registered drivers, get registered, get ready to go on that side too. So we're ready to rock and roll. Save some time, save some effort and everything else too. So, okay. What else, Josh?
Well, so let's talk about some maintenance stuff. I'm going to drive
flip the gear
just a minute.
Drive her up, dude. Drive her up.
So probably going to take me just a second to get to where I need to go here. He says, I stole your thing.
Steal it.
Stole your mouse. Let's look at these here. I'll pull this deal up and we can kind of go through these. You got a little glimpse of this here the other day.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
So this is in a vehicle that has 50, I think it was 52, what was it? 55,000 miles is what it has on it. And in that time, so this is a larger rental fleet company. They show two oil change records for this thing in 55,000 miles. And this is the interior of this motor.
Well, I think, can you blow that up anyway? Cause really,
well, so need, it,
you got some more pictures.
There's some more close in.
There we go. There we
pictures.
Go. Now, as you can see, that sludge is built up on there right there. Yeah, it's kind of small now all of a sudden. It was bigger earlier. But you can see that sludge build up on those bolts. You can see the grooves in that camshaft and that oil just laying in there from that part. So just think out how much that engine has been starved for oil, starved for life, starved.
And so let's look at it from this perspective here too. So what I think is odd is, so this is the, this is going to be more of the front of the engine. Out here where the chains are, and then you've got the solenoids, but then this is the back of the engine. You can see the difference.
Yeah, as it moves towards the back.
As it moves towards the back. And so there's a couple of things that are related to that. One is just the amount of oil flowing. So, you know, up here in the front, you're going to have the chains that are slinging oil everywhere. So you're definitely going to have more a lot more volume of oil running around on the front side of this. And then the other thing is, think of the temperature. So between the front of the engine to the back of the engine, where it's able to breathe and, you know, you have the firewall there that's reflecting the temperature, the, you know, your cooling fans, stuff like that are going to be up towards the front is going to be different too. So, but you can just see the discoloration in it as you go from the front to the back. I thought was
You got it. You know, I don't know what the temperature change would be there, but there's a lot of temperature change here in the back from the front. I can tell you that.
I mean, just oil flow as well, just for the amount of oil that's going to go from one to the other. So again, this was more of a closer up on that thing as well. And then, like, this is the top side of the valve cover. So what blows me away, I mean, this is hanging upside down, you know, so think of how thick that stuff has to be to attach itself to something that is upside down.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's just crazy.
So two oil changes, basically 50,000 miles. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's okay. Just change the filter and keep going, right?
And here's my other thing is that, okay, you're... So I look at this from multiple different perspectives. One is somebody, let's say this didn't break. Okay. And now this car's the owner that, you know, didn't do anything with it. They're ready to get rid of it. And so now this is a potential used car out there on the market. And as a consumer, you're thinking, it's got 50,000 miles on it. What could be wrong with it?
Right. There you go. Yep.
You know, so that's one aspect of it. Then my other aspect of it is, like, for a matter of, let's say $300 more, the difference is several thousands of dollars.
Okay, so let's go into what did it cost to replace this engine? Because that's what it took. It took another engine. So, let's oil changes are, say, $60. Mm-hmm. Tax included, everything else like that. And do it every 5,000 miles. So in 50,000 miles, 60 times 5, that's... Can I add that up? I can't add that up in my head, Josh. So $60 50,000 miles, $600. Mm-hmm. So you spend so let's just say round it up and say you'd spend $1,000 on maintenance and 50,000 miles. Let's just say that. $1,000. What did that motor cost?
So it was around between the engine and the two turbos, it was about 18 grand.
I think I'd really spend the 18 grand. What about you?
Well, yeah, all day long. But then my other thing too, to go along with this is, you know, this, they didn't get to choose. This broke. So what happened, and I guess I can go back to this, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but again, we didn't really get the opportunity to completely dive into this. But the reason that the vehicle came in was not because of, I mean, it was because of the oil, but the symptom was because oil wasn't getting to where it needed to go. This is looking down at one of the turbos, and inside of this turbo, these bearings went out. Well, then the turbo fins started shredding.
Can you see that, everybody on the screen? You can see the grind marks on those fins in there that's grinded away. So guess where those metal particles went?
Yeah, they went into the engine. Went
right in the engine, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they went through and damaged all of the engine. So, I mean, everything from heads to cylinders to the turbo on the other side, the whole nine yards. And it... again, just from lack of maintenance.
Yep. 18 you know? Grand versus 1,000. Which would you rather spend? So that's why we harp so much on this 5,000 mile interval oil change. Yeah, not 7,500, not 10 grand, not what that maintenance light says. But this is two oil changes, and that's what it cost, 18 grand. Could have spent 1,000, but no, we're going to spend 18 grand to put this thing back together. And the other thing, it's not just the engine, it's all the relative parts, the turbos, the lines, because all those, the oil lines going to the turbos, those had to be replaced because they're just plugged up as heck. As you know, there's no oil getting to that turbo is what started all that. So, I mean, it's just crazy what you would spend in an oil change. And what do you got? Yes. It's crazy. Like Tim says, so you save $750 in oil changes for what? Nothing. You lost 17 grand.
Well, okay, but look at it from the rental car companies. Okay, you know, years ago, what you they probably didn't keep vehicles after you know,
well, and 336
or whatever.
That used to be around 40,000 miles that I could buy them. Now I'm starting to wonder where we. Well, I'm not buying them anymore. That's the other thing. Is that's my next thing. Is I'm not because of that. Now they what the manufacturers are doing. Is they're not giving the rental cars the amount of volume that they need or whatever because they're trying to supply us dealers with cars till we get our inventories back level. So now when they, I'm getting cars 80, 90,000 miles, well, this one's got 50. I would have thought, hey, no problem from that part.
And from a normal consumer, like what, when you're buying a used product, what are you buying?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's the whole thing here is maintenance. And, you know, I'm a huge maintenance fan because I know what it does, what it saves me in the long run. I've been down that road too many times, seen too many things from that part fail. You know, it's kind of like I had a guy just the other day talk to me about a diesel truck and everything else, what he's doing with it and everything. And I says, you need to be working off the hour meter. What do you mean? I said, well, how much idling are you doing versus running? What idles a lot more. Okay. That's why you got to switch to the hour meter and watch your hours on that engine and change it. And I said, Ford recommends every 200 hours. But I said, I could hate to tell you this. If it was my diesel truck, because you think that if a 3.5 EcoBoost is 18 grand, what's a diesel? 25 grand?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So let's think about that a minute. I'm going to spend, and a diesel oil change is about $150, give or take, whatever from that part. $150, I would be spending that every 100 hours instead of every 200 hours just to make sure I've got good, clean oil passages cleaned up and all that kind of stuff. And then I'm going to tell you that the things I've learned now over different things is BG's engine restore or GDI flush, yep, oil change and putting a chemical in the oil before you change it. I'd be doing that every 200 hours just to make sure it's clean and safe. I'm going to go into my diesel generator on the race trailer. It's got 400 hours on it. I change it every 100 hours. Okay. Just because they recommend the same thing. Hold 6 quarts. So I got 400 hours on it. I said, I'm going to try that GDI service. And I did. And that oil come out black as you know what at 400 hours. And then I put the new oil in it, fired it up. And you know what the oil looked like when I pulled my dipstick this time?
Clean,
crystal clear.
Yeah.
Rent it for probably 20 some hours now already. Pulled a dipstick again. Guess what it looks like?
Still pretty clean.
Still clean.
Yeah.
So that GDI service is something everybody, we need to, you need to let us coach and teach and train you. Oh, we got a caller, Josh. You see that?
Yeah.
We'll get Delbert coming through. Delbert's getting on the line here too, but
Delbert's online.
He's online. Yeah, he's here
waiting
ready
on you.
Oh, wait, I am.
That's the first, isn't it, Delbert?
Good morning, Delbert.
I'd love to get more callers. That's why I wait so long. Nobody calls in. Like, come on, people, call in and talk to these guys.
We got the chat line going pretty good. We got a lot of people wanting to chat over here, but no one takes the phone in the hand and calls like Delbert does. So, yeah.
Well, you know, you guys are awesome over there. You mentioned longevity of vehicles. You know, unfortunately, I crashed the car, but the truck got in my way. Anyway.
Yeah, I get that too.
125,000 miles on it. I change oil every 5,000 to 6,000 miles because of what I did with it. I used it to do ride share. We won't promote any company. That car drove just like the day it was new. And I bought that one new because I did that oil changes, used BG products in it, kept things up. It was just a wonderful product and maintenance free for that reason. Now, obviously we had an issue with a flex plate that, you know, we'll not talk about that one either.
Hey, everything's mechanical. Well, going to have something break.
And I think that's a good, a good thing too. Like there was no preventative maintenance that you could have done to
save that flex
plate. Save the flex plate. You know what I'm saying?
Just luck of the draw.
Correct. Yeah.
So
the only thing I would recommend, and I know you guys may or may not agree with me on this, but just turn off that stupid auto start stop feature.
I don't know.
That's going to wear into that flex plate. That's the only thing I can think of that's going to wear it out sooner.
You know, and Delbert, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of that situation, but you know, they put better starters on them, they put better batteries in them and everything else like that. But Josh, vouch for what I'm going to say. We really don't see that big of an issue with starters, flex plates, alternators, that kind of thing, like we used 2 years ago. We just don't. And now the way they've done them, I mean, when they first did the start-stop, you could really feel it shut off and all that kind of stuff. I mean, today, these newer cars, I can't tell half the time the car's off versus when it does start and everything, because they start so much smoother and easier and everything else, too. They've got it dialed in. They know when that engine stops and what it takes to fire it and everything else. So much better than what they did. Good new technology.
It is better, but like I said, it's still, I think that makes the flex plate a wear item.
I agree with you.
I don't know how they can improve that to make it so it's not a wear item, but I still have the part just because I think it's amazing how that thing was built out of so many different pieces, whereas the old flywheels were built basically out of one piece, if I recall, maybe two pieces.
Yeah. You said you had, 120,000 miles on it?
About 124,000 when I got rid of it, we'll say. But it happened at 101,654 miles.
What I always...
So, obviously, it's over the 100,000, so Ford would not cover it. I don't blame them. I probably wouldn't either, but...
Well, and, you know, what I wonder, or not wonder, but, like, think of the number of times that thing started in 120-some thousand miles. And... you know, the stress that was put on that thing every time that it did start too. And for it to last that long, it's like, okay, well, what is the service life of it? Or what is a lifetime warranty on a part? Well,
I'm going to tell you, back in my days, wrenching way back with old flywheels and stuff we had there, I replaced a lot of flywheels for teeth grinding off on the starters and all that kind of stuff too. And I said, we don't see that.
Like I remember that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to place a lot of flywheels.
That started with putting on that flywheel. And they've enhanced that to the point where when it hits that flywheel, it doesn't create as much torque initially until it gets on the flywheel and then it spins it.
Yeah.
A lot of things people don't understand how they've improved things to make them better and more reliable. And also those older engines back in the 60s and 70s, what were they getting? 30, 50,000 miles out of them and then they had to fix them?
Yeah, exactly.
Major repairs. So.
Yeah.
You that's know, even improved.
If we get it. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's a crazy on the deal and stuff like that too. But I hear you're feeling a start stop, and you do know the real reason the start stop is on the car, right? Is that right? I don't know if everybody
cafe
knows.
Cafe rating. Yes, I know. That's what's going.
The government gave them points towards cafe rating to hit it by having the start stop off there. And like somebody told me the other day, you know, it probably only takes a nimble full of fuel to sit in there at a stoplight or whatever. But I mean, the manufacturer did it because they could get the CAFE ratings.
Yeah.
The government gave them.
And another thing about the technology in these cars. Now we have an 18 Escape. You're getting ready to have that vehicle. Auto start stop will not work properly if your battery is low on energy, meaning
correct,
the cold cranking amps have come down on it, which is what happened in my car. When I replaced the battery, auto start stops working like it was normally working brand new. So, you know,
yeah,
it's one of those things that's just weird that the car knows I don't have the power to be doing that, so I'm not going to use that feature. So yep, it will turn itself off. Under certain circumstances, and there may be other items that'll help to turn it off too. But I like the fact they have a button to be able to turn it on and off, which kind of negates the fact that they all the companies put it on there. But it's just like, why don't you just make it so we can permanently disable it?
Yeah. Oh, I get that too. There's a lot of things we scratch our heads on too. And, from that part, but we don't see all the other sides of everything that goes on, but there's a lot of things we scratch our head about too. And don't understand why we can't do that or whatever from that part. So,
and maybe we shouldn't talk about them, putting that button in there for the auto start stop, because they may want to take that away sometime.
Well, I'm going to tell you, when the chip shortage started happening on some of the vehicle stuff, they took the start auto stop out completely. It's gone because it saved chips. So they could build more vehicles and stuff that too. So they did take it out, but it's back. But again, on these newer trucks, especially on the PowerBoost F-150s, as I'm pulling up to a stop sign and stuff like that, you know, it used to be as you pull to a stop sign, it'd shut off. Now the vehicle knows if you're coasting or doing whatever, you're getting ready to brake, that engine's off. So it's off for a lot longer of a time period that you're moving, using that energy, and you're not burning any fuel. Does it save some fuel? Yeah, it saves some fuel. How much? I don't know from that part, but there's a lot more technology and more things in there. On that, from that part of what it's doing in the technology.
I'm still like thinking that it doesn't really save fuel in city environments, because how long are you sitting at that light? Sometimes you pull up, you're there and the light changes. Now you're going again.
Yeah.
And so in those instances, I don't think it saves any fuel. I think it wastes more.
Well, and I'm sure the manufacturer is looking at it from an emissions standpoint too, is that at that point in time, you're not emitting any emissions, you know? So I'm sure has something to do with it as well.
Yep, exactly.
We just call it those CAFE ratings again.
Damn CAFE ratings. As I said, we got to go back. The government's got to flip that. They got to go back to say, what's the emissions coming out that tailpipe? What's it producing as far as emissions? That's my opinion, what it's got to do. I mean, because, you know, the other thing about emissions, how much do people drive versus somebody else? I mean, because that's another thing. You're going to burn more fuel. I mean, it's just, I agree, it worked years ago. We need to, it's antiquated data. It's antiquated way of treating the situation. They need to update it to where it's, what's the emissions coming out that tailpipe? And if it's crystal clear, who cares how much fuel we're burning and what we're doing? You know what I mean? My opinion.
Well, I think instead of 2030 for full, I think we're up to 2035 for full electric now. So, you know, you said somebody talked about they moved those ratings just a little bit. And I think that was part of what they did. Because they can't manufacture them fast enough. They can't get the infrastructure built fast enough to be able to handle all that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. There's so much yet to come on this situation and everything else too. I think there's still so many unknowns and don't know and all that kind of stuff. And I've said this all along, is what we're doing today is going to be different a year from now. It's going to be different 5 years from now, as everybody learns and does what we do with what we're going to do with these power plants. I mean, I see other manufacturers coming up with hydrogen and all kinds of things like that too. Who knows what we're going
to
be driving?
Nuclear power, baby. It's the way to go. It's
nuclear power.
Yeah. Exactly. So
y'all forget what I do for a living. So
yeah. Hey, I got a question for you.
Really is the safest if you look at the safe ratings on them.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's just, you know, how many plants have gone in issues? Plants in third world countries. Did I say that out loud? I'm so sorry.
So I have a question for you. You were in here. What it's been probably. Has it been 2-3 weeks now? And you got a Bronco Sport, right?
You didn't pick up on his other car's getting ready to leave him too. He's got another Bronco Sport sitting here for him.
Well,
he's got two of them now.
Yeah. What there was a discussion between him and his wife.
Not wanting to trade in the,
yeah,
right. We didn't want to trade in the 18 yet. We have about a year left on the loan. And when the wife has been driving my Bronco that I bought 2 weeks ago,
that's what I was wanting to know.
She fell in love with it so much that we're now buying a second one for her.
There was some discussion on who was driving it when they were leaving out of here. And that's what,
and she got to drive it for the first 500 miles. So it's got a little over 500 on it.
500 now. On it now. That she put on it.
Yeah. That
she on your Bronco.
My Bronco.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
But there was a reason for that. Now there was,
that's what I'd say too. I'd say there was a reason. I would too. That's what I
had to drive back and forth to Norman, which is about a 30-minute drive each way.
Yeah.
And she drives 8 minutes to work. So we were trying to keep the miles down a little bit, and I didn't want to. Norman's got a lot of red dirt, blows around all the time, and it just makes a mess out of vehicles.
So, oh, I know. It's terrible. That's terrible. I wouldn't. Yeah. It's terrible.
Sounds like we need to get a second one.
Well, he does. It's sitting there ready to go.
About the fire department doing a hazmat tech class, and I just did not want to get in there all stinky and smelly. And
I know. I would. I know, Delbert. I get it.
Phil, I will send you a couple of pictures. You can surely post if you like.
Very good.
All right, Delbert, thanks for calling in as always. Thanks for everything.
Hopefully I pass. We'll see how we go in a couple of weeks.
There you go. Perfect. Anyway, Delbert, thanks for calling, buddy. It's we're running out of time for a change. So
we'll see you guys in a couple of days when I come to pick it up.
Sounds good, buddy. Talk to you soon, Delbert. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Have a great weekend, folks.
You too.
Bye.
All right, always fun to get Delbert on the show, and then all the comments and chats coming through the chat line, always fun too. But hey, it's time to sign off on this deal. Josh, we need to thank BG for these great, polos with the BG.
Oh, that's flag. It's on the other side.
It's on the other side. BG.
Yeah.
Thanks for the BG guys for these great pullovers. We decided we'd wear them today. We're off of blurry, Gus. I don't know what happened. We're blurry. Oh, my elbow. You're blaming it on me, huh? Whoop. Still blurry.
That's okay.
Our elbow blew us out of sync. So, hey, autofocus made it work. So anyway, BG, thank for these great polos. It's the great partnership we have with you guys. Thank you for what you're doing over at Salt City Racing also. And everybody, if you saw the pictures earlier of what oil can do and not changing it. So please make sure that you're doing your proper maintenance and everything and using BG products. We love those products. They're great for your car. They extend the life. They're not snake oil. They're not just whatever. And you get what you pay for with BG products. A great partnership we have with those guys. Big Corner Creative for all your advertising needs. Anything you need for your company to advertise. Jesse's got a great crew down there. Can help you with Google advertising, traditional advertising, print, race car wraps, window wraps, vehicle wraps, whatever it is to advertise your company. As those guys say, just Google us. Hey, summertime is here, right, Josh?
It is.
I think spring break's over already, but Stan, we have finally got him a great fleet of vehicles over there and newer vehicles for a change of stuff over there for Stan and go to rent. If you need a longer trip, need something bigger to get on a trip, or don't want to put the miles in your car, give Stan a call right inside here at Go to Rent. Everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will tune in next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, but also don't forget Wednesday, 6 o'clock will be the next update on Salt City Racing. Everybody have a great Saturday. Talk to you soon.